You're listening to the Pre-Hospital Diary Podcasts with your host, Kai.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Good to be back again, and as you can see by the title, today we're covering a very common condition that we must come across as paramedics. We're covering atrial fibrillation, or AF, as we all, most of us know it by. So today we're going to be covering the normal electrical conduction pathway, the pathophys of AF, our classifications of AF, the causes, presentation, ECG interpretation, and the management. I also want to talk a little bit about what atrial kick is, and I also want to importantly talk about what AF with RVR means. So AF is a very important and interesting condition that we should all be able to nail, so let's go through it. I want to start the podcast with a clinical case to set the tone. So you've been called out to a 58-year-old male complaining of lightheadedness, shortness of breath, and intermittent palpitations. The patient states they are home oxygen and have consumed alcohol today. All right. So let's get in it. Let's get into a bit about AF. So AF is a supraventricular tachyarrhythmia. So supra just meaning above. AF occurs when there is no organized conduction from the atria to the ventricles, and in AF, the SA node does not control the electrical conduction of the heart. Atrial fibrillation, or AF, is the most common sustained arrhythmia and affects around 500,000 people in Australia, and around 40% of these 500,000, so about 250,000 of these people, will be admitted into hospital at some point of their lives due to AF. So a very common condition, as I said. So to better understand AF, it is important to know what is normal and how the electrical conduction works throughout the heart. I've found that being able to understand the normal conduction of the heart and how that relates to our ECGs has made ECG interpretation much easier and more relevant to the patient's presentations. So when we talk about the normal conduction of the heart, I always like to use a stepped approach. So let's start off with step one. So the impulse is generated by the sinoatrial node, the SA node, and we call this the pacemaker of the heart. So this will fire about 60 to 100 beats a minute. Step two, we come down to the electrical conduction will travel down, causing synchronous atrial contraction, which is represented by the P wave on our ECG. So that first positive deflection on our ECG. Our third step will be once the impulse travels down, it reaches the atrioventricular node, or the AV node as we know it by. So the AV node, I've always thought, is a gatekeeper and it will slow down the conduction. So this area is seen by the PR segment on the ECG. So if we think about our heart blocks that we talked about last week, our PR segment is very important because it's our AV node obviously slowing down the conduction, and then there's some problem at the AV node. So we always look at the PR segment. So that's what the PR segment represents. And then fourthly, the impulse will then pass through that AV node, down the bundle of His, down the left and right bundle branch bundle branches, and then lastly to the Purkinje fibers, which causes that ventricular contraction. So this is represented by our QRS complexes. And then last of all, our ventricular repolarization is represented by the T wave. So just a little basic ECG. It's good to understand that normal electrical conduction pathway and how it happens. If you want to understand it a bit more, I would recommend to further understand it, maybe look at, there's books about 12 leads, like Hussar's 12 leads is really good. I've read that. That's awesome, awesome book. So now we've covered the electrical conduction pathway, I want to talk about the pathophys of AF. So as we said before, AF is a supraventricular tachyarrhythmia in which the atria quiver and fibrillate. The fibrillating atria cause a rapid atrial rate and an irregular rhythm. Our biggest worry when it comes to AF is the stasis of blood within the atria. Stasis basically just means standstill. And this happens due to the absence of atrial contraction. So if we have stasis of blood or the blood's not moving, clot formation and embolism may occur, which can travel up and lead to and block one of your cerebral arteries and cause a CVA. I also want to talk a little bit about something about atrial kick. I feel like atrial kick is important to understand and it will further help you in understanding AF. So atrial kick, so it refers to, so every atrial contraction, our ventricles receive about 30% of the blood in the atria, which is known as the atrial kick. The other 70% of the blood moves through to the ventricles via a passive filling. So in AF, we lose the atrial contraction. Therefore, we are losing the atrial kick, which results in a 30% reduction in cardiac output in the stasis of blood. So really, yeah, we're only getting 70% every contraction of what we actually need. So we also classify AF in three different ways. So first of all is paroxysmal AF. So paroxysmal AF is when AF self-terminates within 7 days. Paroxysmal AF is also the most common, and it is also the most likely to produce them acute symptoms we see. Then we've got persistent AF. So persistent AF is the AF that does not self-terminate until treatment is started. And last of all, we've got permanent AF. So permanent AF is AF that does not terminate or even restarts after treatment. These patients are most likely going to need long-term rhythm and rate control management through pharmacological needs. Now, I want to talk about the causes of AF. Very important to understand, and I feel like getting a deep understanding of the causes really helps you identify and understand the condition more. So basically, there are two main mechanisms that cause AF. There are ectopic foci and reentry circuits. So let's talk a little bit about ectopic foci and what I mean there. So when we talk about ectopic foci, we understand that the myocardial cells contain excitability and can produce an electrical conduction spontaneously. And we know that these are the only cells in the bodies that can do this. I've always known them as pacemaker cells. So basically what happens in AF is these pacemaker cells slash ectopic foci generate an impulse that is different from the normal pathway. So outside that normal conduction pathway, they're seeming to generate a electrical conduction spontaneously, which is what they can do. So these ectopic foci will then fire rapid impulses towards the AV node, which cancels out the normal conduction due to the increased rate. Because as we know, whichever is firing at the fastest rate is going to be in charge of the conduction. And when this happens, the AV node receives these irregular rapid impulses, which would then lead to a rapid ventricular rate, and this is why we commonly see in presyncopal symptoms, because of the rapid rate and the reduction of cardiac output. So these ectopic foci can be caused by smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, and especially increased sympathetic activity within the body. So we can have increased sympathetic activity for many reasons. We could be using sympathomimetic drugs like cocaine, or even you could have something benign like a pheochromocytoma, which is on your adrenal glands, and which that basically causes an increase of noradrenaline and adrenaline within your CNS. So many reasons as to why there could be increased sympathetic nervous system innervation. So that is definitely one of the causes of AF. So now we've covered that, let's talk a little bit about reentry circuits. So AF can also be caused from reentry circuits, and these reentry circuits are mainly caused from conditions that cause atrial remodeling. So conditions that can cause atrial remodeling can consist of ischemic heart disease, hypertension is a big one, coronary artery disease, and even increased age. So when this atrial remodeling occurs, the atrial pacemaker cells have varying conductivity and excitability. This causes areas to have a shorter refractory period, which will excite other areas with a longer refractory period, causing a reentry circuit. And once again, the AV node picks up these rapid irregular impulses, which then results in that rapid ventricular rate. So with AF, just remember the two pathologies and the causes of them. Okay, so let's go into the clinical presentation of a patient with AF. So the symptoms are usually that we see in AF, the symptoms are usually related to a reduction in cardiac output, and that's due to the rapid ventricular rate that we're seeing. So therefore, we may see presyncopal symptoms such as lightheadedness, shortness of breath, tachypnea, fatigue, and hypotension. The patient may also complain of palpitations and chest pain, and it is important for us to identify hemodynamic instability pre-hospitally to ensure that we can provide succinct treatment of the patient. Now let's move on to identifying AF on an ECG to confirm our diagnosis. So as I mentioned previously, there is an absence of atrial contraction. We've lost that atrial kick. So this means that there will be no P waves, and our P waves represent the atrial contraction. So the waves seen on the ECG are known as F waves or fibrillating waves, and we call this a fibrillating baseline. If there's an AF, we call it a fibrillating baseline on an ECG. Due to the absence of the P waves, we are unable to interpret that PR segment. The ECG will show a normal narrow QRS complex. However, they can be rapid, as we said, and the R to R interval will be at a variable rate. So this basically means that the rhythm will be irregular, which is a trademark of AF. So really important to identify that irregularity and see if there's any P waves. Do we have a fibrillating baseline? It's usually pretty easy to identify on a ECG. You can even feel someone's pulse. It might be irregular. That probably indicates they're in AF. So another important thing to talk about, because we were talking about the rapid ventricular rate quite a lot, is AF with a rapid ventricular rate. So also commonly known as rapid AF. So pre-hospitally, we are most likely to see this presentation. This just means that the AV node is sending out a ventricular rate of 100 plus. And when we see AF with RVR, it's most commonly seen between 130 and 160 beats a minute. So these patients are especially at risk of hemodynamic compromise because of the reduction in cardiac output. Often this rhythm is seen in patients with a new onset AF that has never been rate or rhythm control. If this is a new onset AF, the hospital will usually perform a synchronized cardioversion and rate control drugs to counter this rhythm. So lastly, I want to talk about the management of AF. So if we come across a patient with a new onset AF, we need to investigate that cause and see if this can be corrected. For example, hypoxia or hypothermia, which can cause AF. And a previously diagnosed AF, it is important to understand the medications these patients are on and their side effects to see if it is related to their presentation. Typically, the patients will be on preventative medications, so that will either control rate or rhythm or even both. So commonly used medications that we'll see are beta blockers like your metoprolol, we've got calcium channel blockers, and anticoagulants. So anticoagulants that we commonly see in AF is warfarin. Warfarin, if they've got a low bleeding risk. If they've got a higher bleeding risk, we might see rivaroxaban or apixaban, usually, typically. So understanding why is important. However, the most important management pre-hospitally is we can identify instability and support the ABCs. And also organize rapid transport to the hospital for definitive treatment. So that's our little overview of AF. I hope you enjoyed it. And give me some recommendations for the next podcast. I hope to get it out within a week. I'd like to do one weekly. If you enjoyed that, let me know. Give me some feedback. But yeah, any questions, send them through. Thanks for listening, guys.